I'd just like to pray before we look into God's Word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord of all creation. You are the Eternal One. You hold us in the palms of your hands, Lord, and your hands still bear the scars of your suffering. Oh, we're so blessed, Lord, to belong to you if we belong to you this morning. If we don't, Lord, help us to find our way to you very soon. Lord, we thank you for your word and pray you speak deeply into our hearts through it, Lord, today. Build us up and help us, Lord, to follow you more closely. As the old prayer said, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you this morning and to worship the Lord together. Blessed be his wondrous name. I feel the Lord wants me to share in Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. If you have a Bible or a phone you want to follow, please do. We'll be looking at some things that kind of follow on from last weekend's ministry, wonderful ministry from Larry. Hello to everybody on Zoom as well, those of you who are out there. Some not so far, some far away. God bless you. Just a couple of things to say in the light of events that have happened this week. We messaged Olaf and Manuela, who our church here supports them in their work with children's ministry to orphaned and very vulnerable children in Thailand and Burma. They have a home in Mandalay. Praise God, the only thing that was damaged was a cupboard. Children are all safe, right in the epicenter of it. Also in the Shan states and in Rangoon or Yangon as well, everybody's okay. Chiang Mai, everybody okay. And Chiang Mai obviously is close to Burma. So praise God, the Lord's hand was upon everything. And for ourselves, I mean, we caught a bus. Where that building went down in Thailand, the bus station is very close to there. And we caught a bus there 3 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago. We live in those days, don't we, when there are signs. Earthquakes, the Lord said, is one of them. Others recommend Richard's blog to you. I can't remember which day it was now. He could tell you about the signs of the coming of the Lord. One of his blogs I read last week. It's a real blessing. So we're in Hebrews chapter 2. And here we go. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that you take care of him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he, God, put all things in subjection under him, man, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him." That's so true, isn't it? We are not in control of the world. But we see Jesus, who is in control of the world, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, excuse me, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, as we heard earlier in those verses from Hebrews that Martin read to us during the communion. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I. This is Jesus speaking in the Old Testament. And the children whom God has given me. Praise God, he kept his children in Burma and in Thailand. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, or shared in flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give help to angels, but he does give help to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation or to make atonement for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. It's a wonderful thing. If you think of the temptation, any temptation that came to you last week, during the course of the week, you know, maybe it was the grinding down temptation that Phil spoke about, or the things that Jesus was tempted in exactly the same way. In the context of his day and his culture, in the context of the time that he lived in, but he was tempted just as we are, yet without sin. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? And therefore he can help us in our temptations, because he knows exactly what we go through at such times, and the tempter never gives up. So we're going to go through this wonderful chapter. For the sake of time, I will cut down the 6 pages to 3, okay? Because the man says, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. This is a very important thing. Therefore, why is therefore there? Well, therefore is there for our sake. Okay, therefore is there because it's referring to what the writer has just told us in chapter 1, which we heard last weekend. What did God say to Jesus? You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. That's what God the Father said to Jesus. To which of the angels, verse 1:13, has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Sit at my right hand. Where is the right hand? It's at the throne of God. Who sits on the throne of God? Jesus. Therefore, in the light of Jesus being the Lord of all glory, the Lord of the universe, the Lord of all creation, the sustainer of all creation, the maker of all things, including your life and my life here today, in all our complexities, in all the mystery of our being. We are in a mystery, we live in a mystery, and sometimes that mystery gets bigger. We won't go there, but hallelujah, Jesus is in control, and Jesus is the one who is sovereign over the universe. Therefore, we must give more earnest attention, or pay closer attention to what we've heard. Now, the Hebrews, who were they? They were people who had believed in the Lord Jesus. They were in Israel. They're also scattered in what's now lots of northern Turkey. And they had come out of all their traditions. They'd come out of the temple, which was a wonder of the world, made of white marble. People came from all over the known world at that time to see the temple at Jerusalem. And they'd come out of the ceremonies, all the beauty of it, the noise of it, the sounding of trumpets, the clashing of cymbals. And they'd left all that for a meeting in a house. Oh, that's quite hard, isn't it? So anyway, the writer's saying, okay, remember, Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's Lord of all. He is the one you've come to meet with. He is the one that you've come out of all that empty tradition, because it was empty of spiritual life. You've come out of that to receive his life in your heart. But now you've got to pay closer attention. Why? Well, because we might drift away. The Greek word means to sort of glide away because you don't have the moorings. You're not moored deeply enough in Jesus himself, in his word, in the things that the Holy Spirit is teaching us. We're not moored deeply enough that we don't risk the danger of drifting away. And gliding away is one of the things that in the 21st century is very prevalent in our society. We glide away from one truth, then we glide away from another truth and another until society comes to the point where it is what we read on the internet, what we read in the newspapers, what we hear on the news day by day, such awful things which never happened before. Why? Because we have glided away, we've drifted away as a nation, that is. But here the writer's saying, okay, you believed in Jesus, don't you drift away. There's a school not far from here, where primary school, where the teacher who sometimes teaches religious knowledge to the children tells them that the Bible is like Chinese whispers. Somebody said something and then somebody else picked it up and made something else of it, and so on and so on. That's being taught to our primary school children in the British Isles today. Okay, that's the drift. That's the drift, to go away from the Bible, to go away from the Word of Truth. You hear it. There's a certain religion which says their truth is better than our truth, in spite of the fact that our truth was written by eyewitnesses and those who heard eyewitnesses, who saw the things that happened to Jesus. Peter, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and Peter was there to see it, and he wrote it. So we must pay closer attention, because under the Old Testament, when they drifted away from the Lord, things happened. Yeah, they're in the wilderness, snakes jumped out and bit them, and then the Lord provided a way for their healing from that. They grumbled, they moaned. We never do that, of course, do we? And things happened. How shall we escape? Here the writer says, in all the way through Hebrews, of course, it's sprinkled with warnings that we have to keep ourselves up to the mark. Are we doing that, beloved? Are we keeping ourselves up to the mark? Because this is so great salvation. What we believe as Christians is an almighty work of God that God initiated, God thought about before the world began. He initiated it, he brought it to a successful conclusion, and now it's being spoken all over the world. It first began to be spoken by the Lord himself. Our salvation, your salvation and mine, first began to be spoken by Jesus. Do you remember? I'll just refer to scriptures. If you want to follow, please do, but don't worry if it's a bit of a gallop as we go through. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7:15 says, "The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles," the mixed race, probably 2 to 3 million at that time, according to Josephus. They were a mixed race. Jesus went there. "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." Why was it the shadow of death? Well, because of sin that lay over all mankind. Maybe there are other reasons as well. Burma is in the shadow of death at the moment. "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent.'" It's interesting, the first word that came out of Jesus' mouth was "Repent. Turn away from your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So there was Jesus, and he began to speak salvation. And there was a man called Simon, or given the surname Peter by Jesus, and Andrew his brother fishing, and so on. And Jesus called them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And the attraction of Jesus was such that they abandoned their livelihood there and then and went after Jesus. The attraction of Jesus was greater later in life, three and a half years later, when the Holy Spirit came and the revelation of who Jesus is came to those men's hearts, and many more like them. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So here we are. Our salvation was being spoken by the Lord, and then it was passed on and passed on to the apostles to those wherever they went, they preached and people believed and so on and so on. And for 2,000 years, there has been an unbroken chain of witness to the glory of Jesus Christ and his great salvation in this world in which we live. And for the last approximately 80 years, the word of that salvation has gone to corners of the globe where it was never before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we went to Thailand in 1980, the part of Thailand we've just been to, 1983, there were no churches, no viable churches in the province. The place where God sent us was a certain district. And now there are 5 churches in that district. The word of God has gone to a certain part of the world, and people have heard the voice of the Lord calling them and responded to Jesus and believed in him. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. As Jesus began to speak this salvation, and then God, as the salvation was being spoken by the apostles and those who followed Jesus, God bore witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, or distributions of the Holy Spirit. We can read about the signs and miracles in the book of Acts all the way through. We can hear about miracles in our present day because God is still the same God. He is still confirming the word of his salvation by signs that follow. And every church should expect to see God confirm his word by signs following. That is, the greatest sign is a transformed life. Hallelujah. Our lives transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ himself coming to them and transforming their lives. And our life, your life, all together as a church, growing in Jesus as well. Because here, the thing I just want to focus, I feel the Lord wants to focus in on, is distributions of the Holy Spirit. The literal word, God distributed the Holy Spirit. Now, he distributed the Holy Spirit to the early church, as he distributes to us as well. And if you want to come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just briefly, here is what happens when distributions of the Spirit are made by God in a church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed or anathema. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the Lord gives distributions of the Holy Spirit. When we believe in Jesus with a sincere heart, we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then there is also a further reception of the Holy Spirit when we open our lives fully and Jesus becomes Lord of our lives. And the Holy Spirit invades us, embraces us, picks us up, and we discover that he brings us into an intimate knowledge of Jesus that we never had before. And he also gives us spiritual gifts. I just remember the night when the Holy Spirit filled me and some friends, and we were speaking in tongues there in the room, and we'd never done that before, never heard of it before, but we were doing it, and we knew we were praising God. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and he gives gifts. Here we are. He gives gifts so that we can build one another up. So here in the Longcroft Church, God has given gifts to each of us by the Holy Spirit. If we know the Lord, and when the Spirit is Lord of our lives, there are spiritual gifts in our lives. They may be latent gifts. We may be lying fallow in the exercise of spiritual gifts. That can happen. But what kind of gifts are they? Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. And the body builds itself up through the working of the Holy Spirit in each one. And we praise God, we know the ministry of the Holy Spirit in these gifts, in our gatherings together, in the functioning of this church. Praise God, we do know these things. But what I want to say this morning is, are they working? Are they operative in our lives? Maybe God gave you the gift of prophecy and it's lying fallow. Or maybe he gave you another gift and it's not been working for a long time. And maybe God is saying to you, I want you to pay closer attention to the things in your life that I have given you. And I speak to myself here. Because God, when God speaks, he can speak a word of a word that really confirms. I was just thinking of when I 1979, I was on the border of Thailand and Cambodia during the refugee emergency there, and right on the border at times. And Ruth was in the Cotswolds, where she worked in a national children's home with severely handicapped children, severely disabled children. And they used to go to church in the Chipping Norton where they were. And then some friends and herself, I don't quite know the details, she can fill them in later maybe, they decided to go to a different church. It was an evening meeting, and it was a church where the gifts of the Spirit were being exercised. And during the course of that meeting, we were engaged at the time, okay? And during the course of that meeting, one of the elders stood up and said, there is someone in this meeting whose feet will stand on the soil of Cambodia. Is that the truth? Yeah, there is someone in this meeting whose feet will stand on the soil of Cambodia. That prophecy was fulfilled in 1991 in Phnom Penh, and in 2006 in the province of Stung Treng, which is in northeastern Cambodia, and for the next 9 years. Hallelujah. God confirmed something, and what an amazing thing. And the guy who said that had no knowledge that I was out, either I was out in on that border, or that Ruth was planning, we were planning to go there once we were married. So God can confirm things through a word of prophecy that maybe that's the way he wants to do it. So are the gifts distributions of the Holy Spirit? We were really blessed at a concert last night in over in Liverpool, hearing a symphony. And before the symphony started, everybody was sitting down, chatting and so on. There was just a cacophony from the orchestra, because everybody was playing their own instrument and, getting the sound right, tuning up and so on. And everybody was doing their own thing, and it was complete cacophony. Well, that was the Corinthian church at times, you know, when everybody babbled on in tongues and there was no interpretation. But then there came a point where the leader of the orchestra stood up with her violin and everybody tuned in together. And that was a beautiful sound when they all tuned in together. They were still tuning up, but it was just a symphony. And that word symphony comes from the Greek of the New Testament, by the way, symphonio, think one thing, think one mind. And then the music came. Wow. I won't go into it, but Mahler's Third Symphony. Okay, have a listen if you can. And once everybody was playing according to the conductor, and the conductor of this heavenly orchestra is, of course, the Holy Spirit, who wants to draw out of your life and mine the gifts that God has given so that we can build each other up in Christ, in simple utterances, words. That's the way that's the thing God uses. He uses words. Thank you, Irene. And that's the way God builds us up. And so if you have a distribution of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you know if you have, then ask God to help it come forth in his church to bless others. And be prepared to let God speak through your mouth. You know, the first time you might give a prophecy, your heart will be going, no, 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 no. But then you get used to the sound of the shepherd's voice and you know he's saying something to you. Okay, we're going down now to verse 6. What is man? Oh, by the way, verse 5, he's not put in the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels. Later on in this wonderful letter, the writer says, these are powers of the world to come. As we exercise the gifts of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, this is something that's going to be ongoing. We don't know how, but anyway, that's what he says. Now, verse 6. One testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? This is you and me, made a little lower than the angels. We know that man was given a high status right at the beginning as Lord of the earth, under subjection to God. But we know man fell from that status by the deception of the evil one. And so nothing is, if you like, under man's control now. But that evil one is the one who holds the world in deception. That's 1 John 5:19. And he said, we don't see things as we want to see them, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Now, when I was thinking of a title today, the one that came to mind is one of the old Puritans, which is the death of death by the death of Jesus Christ. Okay, the death of death through the death of Jesus Christ. How did Jesus kill death? Well, Jesus killed death by his own death. We read here, Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, he tasted death for everyone, for the whole human race. He went into death so that he could bring you and I out of the power of death and out of the power of Satan into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. And Jesus did it by sharing in our flesh and blood. Verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Colossians 2:15, Jesus destroyed the devil on the cross of Calvary and trampled him under his feet. How? By taking away the devil's rights over humanity. Jesus came as a second Adam to undo everything that the first Adam has lost and restore all of that and add even more to you and I by the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to his wonderful name, to give us an eternal inheritance in God that will go on and on and on forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus did it, but he did it at the cost of his own life, because his life was pure and holy, without sin. When he shed his precious blood, he made his soul an offering for sin. Isaiah 53 verse 12, he made his soul, he poured out his nephesh, he poured out his life as an offering for sin, for you and for me, for your sins and for my sins, that we, as we come to him and ask him for forgiveness of our sins and receive his life into ours, as ours, then we enter into eternal life and into the kingdom of God and into the inheritance of all that Jesus won for us by his death. Hebrews 9 and verse 15 says the same thing. Actually, all through Hebrews it says the same thing. For this reason, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Jesus, the only way for Jesus to inaugurate a new covenant whereby you and I, as Gentiles or Jews who have not yet believed in Jesus, can come to God and approach God and come into God's presence with acceptance, was by his death. We've just celebrated communion. Matthew 26 26, this blood is the new covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. That's what Jesus said. The new covenant came in through Jesus' blood. Because without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But an ordinary man couldn't shed his blood for the rest of us, because every other single human being on the face of the planet of every generation is a partaker of Adam's sin. Jesus was not a partaker of Adam's sin. Hallelujah. And he did it to bring many sons to glory. Are we willing to be those sons today? It's a wonderful thing when Jesus calls us to be sons of glory. Okay? I'll finish here. What are the sons of glory? First of all, they're sons who have received grace. And the word here is huios, which is a mature son. A mature son. Not an infant, but God is leading sons to glory. Those who mature in Christ and go on with Christ are born along by the Holy Spirit into new places, new territories with him, going deeper with him, letting him have more of our lives than he's ever had before. We're sons, we have received grace. 12:28, therefore, as we receive grace, let us serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. Hallelujah. Secondly, sons have the witness of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. If we have that witness, then we know we are sons of God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, 6 says this, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. It was nice to be in Thailand again, there's a language spoken where we were, which is called Gui, and the word for father or daddy is Abba. Abba. Okay, not Abba, but Abba. Yeah, but it's very close to it. It's nice to hear that sound. Abba, Father. Something that rises from our hearts that says, Father, I'm your child. I belong to you. Through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Sons desire holiness. Sons desire to be sanctified. We heard earlier those beautiful verses in Hebrews chapter 10. Jesus came into the world and he said to the Father, Father, you don't desire sacrifices and burnt offerings, but you've prepared for me a body, because in a body I can do your will and I can go unto death, even the death of the cross, to deliver my sons from the power of Satan and bring them into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. Sealed with the King's seal. Can never be undone. It is finished. When Jesus made that, said that cry, it's one word. It's complete. Everything is complete. Here we read, sorry. I need to stop. Yeah. When Jesus was made perfect by the things he suffered. How can the perfect one be made even more perfect? Well, he was made even more perfect because as a man he suffered things which he never suffered as God. He is the God-man. He is completely God. He came completely man, and in his manhood he suffered things. And suffering is part of the Christian life. Some of our brethren, some maybe even watching now, are very close to knowing degrees of suffering that in this country we don't know, thankfully. But it has been known in the past. But Jesus was like a, if you like, it's like a tree that grows into maturity and then brings forth perfect fruit. From childhood he grew up before the Lord as a root out of a dry ground. And then he bore perfect fruit on Calvary, which was sons of glory. That's you and me as we yield our lives to him. And we are being sanctified as we do that, as we yield our lives to him. And the last thing I want to say is sons are willing to serve and to be there for self-expenditure. For self-expenditure. If we keep our lives, we'll lose it. If we lay down our lives, we'll gain it. Even the Son of Man, Mark 10:45, came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Just two examples. James Fraser, concert standard pianist. Oh, the music last night. He left it for the Lisu in Western China. Couldn't carry a piano up there. And he lived with the tribesmen and he left all that. Isabel Kuhn, glittering social life in Canada. Could have done anything, been successful businesswoman, done everything she wanted. But she also left that for the Lisu of Southwest China. And we met her daughter, Kathy, in Thailand when we were missionaries there, first of all. Henry Martin had a brilliant academic career in Cambridge. And he left it for Bible translation for India and Persia. Who follows in their train? This is the life that the sons of the glory inherit from Jesus. Life of liberty, where the power of sin is broken out of us by the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. And we say to Jesus, here I am, Lord, I'm available to you. Hallelujah. Have we said that to him? Let's just pray, shall we?